Okay, have fun.
Hi. Oh, glad to see you.
Nice seeing you, Roland.
That's great. Maybe
nice
in here.
You too, Barbara.
Okay, roll.
Nah, I just kidding.
Okay. Sit back in your seat just
for all
a
right.
Second.
I write things down. You know, when I don't have a pad, I write them on little things because my brain won't hold all these funny names.
You didn't take your pad with you last night.
Pardon?
Too bad you didn't take that pad.
I should have. And I'm just trying to find where in the heck I put that.
Okay, the guns are wired. And I am not wired.
I know he was called the commissar. And they called him the commissar. He was the one who did all of the training for the, they had a halo school, you know, George told me, in the Philippines, where they trained the Delta Force, the assassins in the Philippines. They also had a school like that. The Australians had one in Indonesia on an island where they're having big kind of East Timor.
Yeah,
it's in the mountains, and it was started, yeah, and the Portuguese are involved in this in some way.
Based on your newest lesson you learned about the line of thesis. Very good? All right, great. We're rolling. We're recording. We are doing it right now. And good deal. Hey, Albert, hit this camera here, tighten the shot just ever so slightly, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, you don't have to get all the way, you could reach from that side easier. See what I'm saying right here?
Mm-hmm.
Just tighten it just a wee little bit. Perfect. You got it.
Huh?
Good.
I said that's perfect.
What's that, the keys? Did I take the keys? You need the keys.
We'll get my car.
Gotcha. Okay, then hurry back, because I can't be without my car.
No, I'll be right back. A little bit below the pocket, but that's okay. Good shot.
I think so.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, we're having a fascinating conversation, talking to the wife of the former...
Chief of Staff, Marine Atlantic... head of the intelligence group that went to Beirut. They were already meeting over there. He was before the Beirut bombing. The NATO intelligence wet operations guy, psychological operations guy.
Okay, now when you refer to wet operations, WET, does that stand for something?
Yes, it means murder, assassinations groups. Oh. NATO has a group of assassins. And psychological operations specialists,
uh-huh,
who work in combined operations to destroy targets.
Okay.
My husband tried to explain to me the first 3 years of marriage how it all works. I was assistant director of the Chamber of Commerce. I was the first woman on the board of the Foreign Commerce Club in Norfolk. He thought that I was a worldly woman. I had dated a number of guys who were high level, like Jerry Unruh, who was the captain of the Saratoga, a man who was very high up in the Army intelligence in Richmond. I had been married to a governor's grandson whose family were all in intelligence. His father was Harvard economics professor. They thought...
You even mentioned that years ago you dated... John Engler,
ROTC. I'm sure it's the same John Engler. Uh-huh. If he was in the Navy, I dated a John Engler who was in the ROTC in Norfolk, because you know Norfolk is the largest military complex in the world. We have Langley, the Air Force Base, which does intelligence work. We have Camp Perry, which is an intelligence, international intelligence spot. All of the naval bases, the Master Jet Base, Training and Doctrine Command, which is Army, Fort Story. And in fact, Fort Story was where the recent Secretary of the Army was told he had to leave. I have intelligence guys who tell me truth because they know they can't talk, and I get a lot of scoops. Togo West, who was basically honest, and like Colin Powell, most African-American men are not going to condone murder and assassinations and so forth when they find out about it. Togo West...
No, you think there's something... I'm missing something here. The Afro-American man is not like...
Generally.
Mm-hmm. Generally. So you feel that Colin Powell is a different cut of general than these other guys we've been talking
about? Oh, absolutely. Colin Powell's... The wonderful thing about some of the African-American men I've met is they'll mm-hmm. tell truth.
Why would they allow these guys to rise in rank, then?
As puppets, thinking that they will, you know, be able to make them do certain things, because psychologically they're innocent, they're naive. They cannot believe that our government has got hit squads, that there's group sex going on, that they are giving people money in exchange, you know, for their services. Mercenary training is going on in the Army and the Air Force at the highest circles. And Colonel John Ryman, Dr. John Ryman, they have him targeted as a kook. Colonel John Ryman lives in California. He was on the high track up, the rising star track. He was in Great Britain. He found out about a murder over there.
Okay.
He reported it. He also had the crazy idea that there ought to be a peace college in Cambridge. You know, we ought to really start working towards peace. Well, the minute he got back, he gave an idea, a synopsis of his sort of peace college idea to Colin Powell and his wife. Colin Powell took it to the National Security Council. When Ryman got back, and I'm not sure of the logistics and the chronology of all of this, but I'm in contact with him, he was put in a funny farm. I think he was put in a place in either New Orleans or St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where they put Ezra Pound and mm-hmm. where they've got Reagan's assassin.
Mm-hmm.
St. Elizabeth's Hospital, like the Eastern State Hospital in Williamsburg, has Army intelligence people in there. They're targets, people who have decided to tell truth or whatever. In other words, people who believe in the American dream, who are mm-hmm. Christians, who are trying to get things straightened out. If they transgress that line where they upset somebody in high command,
mm-hmm.
just like in Germany, they all of a sudden move from being a person to being a target.
Mm-hmm.
From being a human being, a Christian, a loving, wonderful soul, to being a target, therefore the enemy. Mm-hmm. This is also what happened in Germany. Why should God makes us all wonderful and beautiful? Those of us who have the courage of our convictions and who believe in what Christ did, mm-hmm. who stand tall, why should the leaders not be able to speak and tell truth? Because it's in the rainbow of truth, the rainbow of individuals who are God-fearing and love truth, in which we can build a better world. So why are good people silent? Why are their papers gone through? I have an interesting, I took some notes last night, and I'm trying to listen.
Okay, well, they're silenced because they are, they're in a conflict of good versus evil.
Yeah.
In this struggle.
I need my...
Oh, no problem. We can find
yeah, it. Yeah, I need my...
Your checkmate book is down yeah. there.
Oh, yeah, this is what
is it in there?
Yeah. What's happened to me, what's happened to people like Marianne Poors, Deborah Von Trapp, Colonel Sabo's dad?
Let's talk about Deborah Von Trapp for a second, because I've heard the name, but I somehow associate her with something negative, or there was some discrediting of what she... Is she the same Deborah Von Trapp that alleged that the Oklahoma City bombing was somehow Japanese-related? Or is that a different person?
Now, she may, I do not know. I've met her on the phone through Sarah McClendon when I was staying with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's experience is different. When you're a Christian, when you're a very strong Protestant Christian, as I am, and you're walking in light, you're walking in truth, you take people at their word until you find out that they've lied to you. Oh. And if they have intentionally lied, then, you know, I just let God deal with them. Do you know what I mean? Okay. I don't believe
So maybe somebody fed her disinformation solely designed to discredit her.
Yeah. And I do believe this is true. Mm-hmm. I know that she worked in the White House. I know she worked under a man named Getzman and some mob figures in the White House who were Army. Mm-hmm. Now, this CIA thing, from my experience, is bogus. Because every person I've known who was in the CIA was in military intelligence first. For example, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He told me furtively when I saw him in court, I don't work for the CIA. You know, I knew he was telling the truth. He was afraid. He wanted me to know. Point is, he works under the Army. He's a Marine Corps high-level intelligence officer. Mm-hmm. But he's under all these Army people, so I'm having to assume that the judge, the lawyers, the commissioners, all the people who are handling my husband when he's around me, because I really believe that he loves me, you know, even though he's under their control. And I think that's why he's been totally kept away from me. His daughter-in-law told me he can't come back because he'd end up staying. You know, it was... The point is that David Lay, my brother-in-law for 20-some years, I married John Garland Pollard, whose sister Mary Lloyd Pollard married a CIA agent, David Lay. David Lay was Harvard, Hasty Pudding, translates Mandarin Chinese. He's a brain. His family came over from Germany. I think they were Zionists. He doesn't believe in any religion, but he is still working for this intelligence arm. He's doing war gaming for this monolith, this global monolith. He's playing chess by mail. He's writing articles about the Middle East. He's an expert on, you know, what's going on in the Middle East from the Israeli perspective. He's Army. I was with my sister-in-law when he went on a mission. And she was in the same psychological state that I was in. This is what,
and that state,
how I know.
And that state succinctly is?
Keep the women out of it. Terrorize the women. Make the women fearful of their own. In other words, make them. I can't describe what I went through except to say that every single Marine wife that I know is in that psychological state. Thank God, thank my grandmother for her wonderful Presbyterian background. You know, women are intelligent, kind of, you've got the spunk in you or the genes or Jesus Christ, whatever it is. I know truth, and truth is vitally important to me. I cannot live a lie. Do you know, I can't live a lie. I cannot, maybe I was injected with Pentothal when I was an infant, I don't know.
So like that incident at the officers' club where your husband at the time told you, just get used to it, this is the way that it is.
Yes.
You just can't get used to living some facade and looking the other way as if something doesn't exist.
No. And I mean, he's sick. My husband's really mentally sick. Any man, I believe he killed his first wife, Sue. He's dangerous. We're married for a month. He gets a letter and a phone call from Mary Clark goes to lab and Anne Bouchou, and you know, naturally a wife who's newly married to a handsome man isn't wanting other women to write, and I'm saying, you know, and I've already found out who they are. I've got a master's degree, I'm a researcher, I've, you know, and I'm saying, George, what are you doing hanging around spies? I didn't know about double agents, and Kashmir Yost is on the Council of Foreign Relations. Her son, I'm sure it's her son or her cousin. And her husband, as I mentioned before, was a Muslim who was really a turn person on the Palestinians, who worked at the American University of Beirut. My husband was sleeping with her, Al Gray. Everybody knew this. And I didn't know that this is what you do until I called Valerie Wilhelm, General Charles Wilhelm's wife, on the phone. Now, who is General Charles Wilhelm right now? And let me tell you what she told me.
Okay.
You just have to get used to it, Kay. She told me about, you know, her husband with, I said, George's got another man, Lieutenant Colonel Michael O'Boyle, whom I was told is his boyfriend, you know.
And she says you just have to get used to it?
She said you just got to get used to it. Same thing came from the wife of General John Sheehan, Jack Sheehan, head of NATO, a friend of mine, mm-hmm. been to parties at my house. And I see, by now I've gotten my little tape recorder from Radio Shack, you know. And I'm taping phone calls because nobody's going to believe me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my little tape recorder, and I'm talking to Sheehan's wife. Well, she's saying, come on over. Let's have coffee. You come over at so-and-so time. So I invite Carolyn Millis, whose husband was the temporary chief of staff after my husband's wife's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, I know Sue was murdered. Blow on the head. I had so many blows on the head, you can't even believe it. Broken bones and so forth. Well, in the middle of these terrorism episodes that you know, my husband would put me through, he would say things like, you know, I'm down on the ground, he's got a 45 to my head, or he's strangling me with his thumb on my jugular vein, you know, and he's saying in this sergeant-like voice, you have got to believe me. You cannot question me. In other words, it's like I am being interrogated, or I am being, it's the most awful experience to have the one you want to love, the one you have made your commitment with,
mm-hmm.
have you in pinholes, and knowing he's an experienced guy, you know. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And these wives, now I cannot say whether their husbands have done the same thing. I don't think they have. But what they train them to do is to be speeding along the highway. It's shock treatment is what it is. I've been told it's shock treatment. And they're driving along the highway, and you've got an important person to meet or an important party. You know, you're all dressed up, or you're going to somebody's house. So he screeches on the brakes, provokes you in some way. You don't even want to fight. You say, I don't want to fight. You know, what is this all about? And he's just speeding up, going like, you know, 90 miles an hour, screeches on the brakes, and then he gets out and runs. It's you cannot believe, it's horrible.
And where did he run to?
Oh, there was a party, a Norwegian party. The first time that happened was when we were down in North Carolina with the camera, you know, when he wanted to get my camera. I nearly drowned. He wanted me to tell him where the camera was. He tried to kill me that night to scare me so that I would behave. But I was raised in a family with strong men. You know, you stand tall, you don't let people intimidate you when
mm-hmm.
you know you're right,
mm-hmm.
because there are more important things. God is over above us all. Jesus Christ is above us all. Truth is above everything. The Ten Commandments are above everything. You know, under that is Jesus Christ, and then your mate. So I put, you know, that's why I put him in very high esteem, but
mm-hmm.
I knew he was not normal. I'm an intelligent woman, I read, so I was hoping I could change him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a battle, it was a spiritual battle going on. I knew it was a spiritual battle, and I was believing that that I could, you know, reprogram him, essentially,
mm-hmm.
subconsciously. Now, I didn't know that at the time, what was going through me,
mm-hmm.
but I was really being tested.
Of course, the many years of operant conditioning he'd been through fortified and solidified his positions.
Yes.
He was far more entrenched an operative than you were going to be able to undo.
Oh, he was involved in the HALO program, the MAC.
HALO? What's HALO?
He mentioned it was something to do with training assassins and training psychological operations specialists. It was in the Philippines. They also had one in Panama.
Okay.
They had a school for army and other guys where they would strip them down nude. They would tie them onto logs. The man who ran the school was dressed up as a Nazi soldier, even though his name was Olenchek or something. He was a Czechoslovakian pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a man who dressed up like a woman who was really pretty, you know? And here are these guys nude, and they're training them to kill. And in fact, there's a book called Copperhead, which I have a copy of, which is all about, was written by a commando guerrilla who was from North Carolina who had been battered badly. Or West Virginia, I think he was. And his father had battered him, beaten him. Well, what they do is, in the prisons, through this CASA system and so forth, they take the innocent little boys who've been battered by their parents,
mm-hmm.
and they turn them into assassins by making homosexuals of them or something. Now, I believe that these men are redeemable because I believe that men like my husband and Oswald, they're held by the secrecy, by the power of this adolescent group which controls them. And I believe that if they knew that there were strong women, mothers, and wives who would be behind them 1,000%, they'll have the courage to come and speak out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least to stop the growth of this stuff, because it's the growth of this stuff they are intending to destroy America.
Well, there certainly seems to be a growth in homosexual activity, homosexual acceptance, homosexual promotion, homosexual acceptance in our society today.
Yeah.
And it just seems like everywhere you turn, you're finding a little group of homosexuals, or even in our local community, I'm surprised how many homosexuals are running businesses,
mm-hmm.
and certain restaurants,
mm-hmm.
Are becoming homosexual hangouts. So you know, well, the owner must be a homo, mm-hmm. and he hires homos,
mm-hmm.
and I hate to admit that I think this is the way things are in business and banking and in education. Oh, the local college,
yeah,
university.
Yeah,
I've had people tell me that they're just loaded.
You cannot get a job unless you are special, elite, irregular. Now, the frightening thing here is, number one, this is the underlying thing. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. This is exactly the same pattern that happened in Nazi Germany, the exclusion of women and mothers who love their children. Now, I'm pragmatic enough to realize and say, look, we mothers look at history and we look at the future. We're pretty daggone damn wise. I don't use profanity unless I'm talking to soldiers, but I've learned to use, you know, this is what they listen to. They're really, you know, I can talk sailor talk. I can talk marine talk. I can talk commando talk, because I'm the, you know, little bitch who loves Jesus. And, you know, I mean, when you're in the streets, Christ wasn't out there with all the goody-goodies. He was out there in the streets. He was out there talking to them, the
right.
drunks and so forth. I know how to reach them, because I don't mind transgressing into this kind of little verbiage if that's what Jesus Christ did. But the danger here is that, yes, it's growing. It's a growth industry. It's growing exponentially. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They're cloning people. You know, do they need women? You know, which women are they going to have? The party girls, the bimbos? In Norfolk, just to give you an example, Lieutenant Governor Dick Davis, Marine, second wife is a prostitute. He loved her very much. She had a wig salon. My uncle, Dr. George Bentley Bird, was the major obstetrician for everybody in Norfolk, prostitutes, everybody. Mm-hmm. He told, our whole family knows, you know, who the prostitutes are, who goes to the saint and sinner's banquets. Judge Richard Kellum. I mean, this is a nice guy.
Now, the saint and sinner's banquet, is this a local affair?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Every town has got this sort of, you know, saints and sinners group. The sleep-around group or whatever, okay. You know, the group who tolerates it and has a little fun. Uh-huh. And they're all, you know, they're all guys. Well, okay. But the thing is, where is it going to lead? This is why women like me who know need to be involved in the process of leveling things out a little bit. I don't know whether I'm describing it. When you target good, strong people who know what to do or who can figure out quickly what to do in given situations, it's like a targeting good people, taking their papers, going into the leaders' houses. The leaders who pop up, who are trying to get things straight, are the ones who really know what's going on. They're just the people who need to be involved in the process of leveling things out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, maybe they've gone off a little here, a little there, but the point is, they know that truth and light is what is going to make that balance work out. And when you marginalize women, target women, mothers, wives, who are strong inside, I'm talking about really core strong, genetically strong. Mm-hmm. Even Clausewitz says that the moral is 3-1 of the over the arms, you know. If they want to win over these little guys, they've got to have credibility. What's happening now and why they're all afraid is they have no credibility. The SEALs are the worst. They were so afraid about that one little doctor that the SEALs gang raped in Norfolk. Why? Because the whole credibility of the SEALs is shot.
Okay, now I'm not sure. I'm aware of that. There was a gang rape of a doctor by the SEALs?
Yes.
By a group of SEALs?
Oh, yeah, in Virginia Beach. And the...
When did this occur?
Oh, 2 years ago. And the interesting thing is that the parents of this girl, she's beautiful, from Georgia. You know, this is a wonderful human being who went into what used to be Poppy's. It's kind of the night place in Virginia Beach. When I was single, mm-hmm. I went there, you know. I mean, we would go there, four of us women. Young women, Molly and Sally and myself, and we go there, and the doctors would go there. You know, it was kind of a place. Well, the SEALs are taking over Virginia Beach. SEAL Team 4, 6, and 8. And this gal went in there. One of the men just saw, oh, she's great. Let's take her out. They took her out, raped her, killed her.
Goodness.
Strangled her.
And was anybody ever prosecuted?
I don't really know what happened because it's been hushed up by the local courts who are controlled by Army JAGS and Marine Corps.
And again, JAG stands for?
Judge Advocate General. And these are guys, all who have been involved in their wives have been handled, gotten rid of their first wife, their sleeping around with another bimbo woman or another man. They're participating in group sex. C. Lydon Harrell is one. There are lots of them.
Who's he?
He is a man who was... Now, I'm not anti-Mason, but no. I have suspicions about Masons. Some of the things that they do in the darkened rooms, and I've been told that...
Well, it's a secret society, isn't it?
Yeah. But I know that he sabotaged me in my case. I think there's money.
Oh, he's the judge.
I've had a number of lawyers that they sort of said, because, you know, I have no lawyer. I'm trying to fight for all these other women and mothers and for the people who know truth. And because I'm verbal, because I'm articulate, and I'm also gullible, you know, I want to believe that there's somebody good out there who's going to help me fight this thing. Because I've got photographs of being battered. I've got doctor's signatures. Sarah McClendon, the senior White House correspondent, has an affidavit where she tried to call my house. And a man answered the phone and said, this is a military base, and the Griggses don't live there anymore. Now, Sarah McClendon could not even get through to my house for 2 months. She had to go to another phone just to call me. So I knew that all these other people I'd called in Washington were trying to call me, and the phones, calls were being rerouted. Now that is in this book. This I found in Goodwill. And so I shouldn't mention this because they're going to go now start calling Goodwill, but all the intelligence divorces, there are a lot of divorces going on. The wives will throw out their husband's books, or the husbands will throw them out. They're mad at the government. But, you know, I found that's why they've been raiding my library.
What's the title of this book?
This title book is called Intelligence and Electronic Warfare Operations.
Okay.
Now, this book is all about what happened to me. Army, Air Force, Marine Corps. Where is the FBI Psychological Operations Unit? Quantico, Marine Corps base. The only FBI agent who came to me, who was allowed to come to me, was Dan McNally, 20-year Marine. Homosexual, I believe. I'm pretty sure he is because, you know, and I'm not saying that he's a bad person, but I am saying that I was not allowed by any other FBI, to have any other FBI agent come and hear about the break-ins to my home, the battering that I went through, nearly killed, the murder of my husband's first wife, serious business. She's in a grave, Suzanne Workman Griggs. She died on April Fool's Day, 1987. And the doctor wanted to do an autopsy. Couldn't do it. Because the two men who were doctors in that hospital, Dr. Lawrence Smith and Jean Lamb, Army officers. They owe their life to this
And they take orders.
Of course they take orders. The judges, the judge in my case, Judge John Moore, his first wife was put away because she was telling truth. And I found out from Carrie Brown, who's an Army officer who had a Purple Heart, who told me exactly what she told him. Now, he's the judge in my case.
Mm-hmm.
Across the street from me lives another judge. Judge Jefferson Davis Reed, Naval Intelligence. He found my suitcase in the woods. I've known his family since the beginning of time. His sister, Martha Ann Reed Ellis, is married to one of these intelligence guys, Tim Ellis, and divorced. He's now with the federal, he's a federal judge. His mother, Her family are intelligence people, not Americans. Tim's mother, they're not Americans. He's a naval officer taking orders. What are all these judges in being under a chain of command? And why are they attacking the mothers and the women who are telling truth? And why are they breaking into honorable people's houses, ministers, and so forth, using these electronic warfare tactics? Diverting phones, downloading caller IDs, having bogus people answer the phone. In other words, instead of getting this person at that number, they get somebody else. For example, I called in an emergency, I called the state police. And I'm pretty smart, pretty discerning, and I wound up talking to a guy who worked for the ATF. And I said, you know, oh, well, what are you doing in the state police office? He said, oh, I'm just a retired ATF guy. And I said, well, But I thought I was calling the state police office. He said, well, you're talking to me now. What can I do for you? I said, well, if you're retired, I want to talk to an active duty, you know, a good guy from the state police. Please. And I said, by the way, I don't like you ATF guys because of what you did at Waco. You all murdered innocent women and children. You ran over them. You shot them. You put tanks on them and you killed them. You're murderers. I don't want to talk to you. He hung up on me. He didn't like what I said. Well, you know, if he's so sensitive and so defensive, how can he deal with women if he can't cope with truth? This is what, you know, 80% of the American people feel, or 90. Waco was murder, savage, brutal murder.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did to that man,
Randy
Weaver's wife.
Yeah.
Shooting a mother with a baby in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Right.
You know, and one woman hears that. One mother hears that. She doesn't like the ATF anymore. I don't know any woman who likes the SEALs anymore. I don't know any other mother who really, really likes the ATF anymore. I mean, what's going on here? We're mothers.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff that went on in Germany and fear tactics. So we say, heck, these guys are adolescents. You know, they're adolescents. And so who's running them? Who's in charge? We turn into Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So little old mothers like us, we all think alike. And we're all Dorothys now, just marching and saying, look, guys, what's going on here? You're all little men from Oz. Why don't you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it can be straightened out.
Do you see any similarity in what's going on in this country, in China, Tiananmen Square? You know, we've all seen the picture of the young man standing up in front of the tank. I don't know how much long-term effect that had in China, but it still sticks in the minds of a lot of people here. You know, like Tiananmen Square for China, Waco for America. Are there similar, is this a turning point, a rallying point?
A man named Mr. Lee, who is an intelligence officer in Norfolk. Mr. Lee is the son of the major banker for the Russian government. He is he worked for Dr. Richard Chang, who's also an intelligence operative. I believe he's an honorable guy. He's tall, he's sort of a Princeton, Harvard-looking guy, I believe he's honest.
Okay.
He came to Virginia Beach, and I was putting together sister city organizations, and I was trying to get the leaders of all the different ethnic groups in Norfolk to sort of start a sister city program in globally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do that, but I didn't understand how the intelligence community worked at that point. I knew things were going on, and he was bringing together all these potential sister cities in China. Our State Department had opened up cities which had independent corporate entities, and we had shows on all of this. This material has all been stolen out of my house by my husband and his friends. I started noticing, because I was led spiritually to goodness, to good people, to light and truth. I didn't understand the weapons and drug military culture that's running our government and I believe parts of the world. There is not one woman that I know of who's in this business. I believe, and I had the pleasure of meeting your wonderful wife last night, Pastor Strawcutter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman who's wonderful. This is a woman, this is my kind of woman. You know, and I've met a lot of women like that.
Mm-hmm.
We go through hurdles, and I don't mean to cry.
It's all right.
But we're strong. And we know truth. And they're going to have to kill me before I give in. I believe in good men like you. I believe even my husband's core is good. I think that's why he's away. I looked at, and that's the way I have this, why I have this little book here. It has the list of the members of the CFR, Council mm-hmm. of Foreign Relations.
Do you recognize names in the CFR list?
All these names that I've underlined, I know.
Okay, you're out of camera there. You're out of frame. Go ahead and pull it in close. There we go.
All right. All these names that I've underlined are friends of my husband's, or I personally know.
Okay. Okay.
My son, John Garland Pollard, and I hope I'm not jeopardizing my family, but... and I believe that there are some good people possibly in here, so I want to qualify that and say right. They're not all bad.
Just because you happen to know them or underline doesn't mean that
it doesn't mean that they're bad.
Bad list.
No,
right.
No. But and I don't have my glasses on. I'm blind as a bat, and I had surgery, so I can't hear right. I'm just a 55-year-old wasted woman.
Not at all.
But there are quite a few names here, and. It's quite a long list. I mean, we're only at the end now.
mm-hmm.
This is the, Bill Clinton's on here. You've got the Rostos. You've got 11 Cohens, we're at the Z's. You've got Mary Halab's son. I'm pretty sure that's Kashmir. Carl Vono. You've got a lot of, you've got the Commandant of the Marine Corps, whom I have my picture taken with. It's an interesting list of elite political, military, banking individuals, and the sons of some high level people.
So you have all these powerful people in a club.
Yeah.
That has common goals.
Yeah. Which is global uniting,
mm-hmm.
Global control, and I can see how one could sort of get sucked into it idealistically, thinking that it's something that we should world peace and harmony and everything, and I mean I can understand. Wanting world peace and harmony. I'm trying to find a name here. But if you're a Christian, which I am, a Christian with a little C, because the early founding fathers never capitalized the word Christian. Did you know that?
Hmm.
Did you know that all of the founding fathers were homeschooled? Did you know that?
Yeah,
Robinson?
I was aware of that. Yeah.
Think about that. Did you know that most all of the Virginian founding fathers were only gospel Christians? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Didn't even read the end time stuff, Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Thomas Jefferson was a born-again Christian the last, 7 or so years of his life?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he was corresponding with Adams in Massachusetts? That he took the New Testament and the Gospels and was trying to find out everything that Christ did? And I believe he was murdered. And I believe it had something to do with this Admiral Levy who took a mortgage on his house so that he could build the University of Virginia, so that he could take and get his papers, his correspondence with Adams. I believe it was, now I'm the only one you will have ever heard this theory from. My undergraduate degree is in Virginia history.
Okay, so the University of Virginia was founded by Jefferson.
Hmm?
money that he obtained by mortgaging his home?
From a Kabbalist by the name of Admiral Levy.
Levy. Okay.
Now, I know that...
it is an interesting theory.
Of course it is. Yeah. Dare to think. Dare to theorize. Dare to use the hypothesis, you know, mm-hmm. to come out with the thesis.
Now, Levy, you mentioned he's a Kabbalist.
Yes. And a Mason.
Like a descendant of the Illuminati.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So,
and a weapons dealer and a reserve military officer.
Even way back then.
They were doing... Now, think about this.
What they're doing today, they've been doing for...
Of course. Think about this. John Paul Jones founded, supposedly the founder of our Navy, was a criminal. Why would they twist it like that? He was also a Kabbalist, also a Mason. He and Lafayette. Lafayette was a weapons merchant. They raise up some people who are sort of questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for a fact that Jefferson became a Christian. He did not necessarily believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, so maybe you could say he's not technically a Christian, but he said, I'm a Christian. He was working towards, he was going to Baptist churches. He was contributing to the American Bible Society. Do you hear this?
No, of course not.
Jefferson was a born-again Christian who was searching for truth, who was martyred, I believe.
Okay,
and at the same day he was murdered, so was Adams. Think about this. July the 4th.
And of course, you're being a Virginian and a
descendant of James Madison.
And a student of Virginia's history. Somebody like yourself could dig this out and would dig this out. It would be germane to you, whereas... Who else would even be important to?
God and my Christ have put me in the most amazing places and times. You would not even believe. When I studied at the University of Edinburgh, I received a grant in 1978 to work on Lord Dunmore's papers. Lord Dunmore was the last royal governor of Virginia. I was invited by the current then Lord Dunmore, Johnny Dunmore, to work on the Dunmore papers. No one but John Selby has done any work on Dunmore. So, I stayed with, I'm not going to mention too much because I don't, but the point is, I know a lot about the triangular trade, what was going on in Bermuda.
The triangular trade.
Yeah, Tom Devine. The triangular trade is the illegal weapons, drug trade that is still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is basically running it with the New York bankers. It has something to do with Kabbalism, because the Pentagon, the symbol for the Pentagon, the Brotherhood, they feel so compelled to not think for themselves, to sort of depend on somebody else who's more physics-oriented, you know. In other words, these guys are so much smarter than I am, they can be doing totally immoral things that, you know, are breaking up families, breaking up, you know, wives. And in other words, they're not looking at the structure of the family. They're not looking at the structure of society. They're not looking at the culture, the community, the basic ingredient that provides life, the planet, the trees. They're not looking at anything but sex. And when one perverts and twists in other words, one focuses on, yes, sex is wonderful. You know, it's great. I'm a, you know, great proponent. But there's so much of a focus by this group on sex, and the military, you know, they go back to Greek days, and they have all these symbols of, you know, the Washington Monument is supposed to be a phallic symbol, you know, and they say, well, this proves, you know, because the Greeks were doing it, the Egyptians were doing it, and it's this secret little group that was, you know, back in the days of Nefertiti and you know, Mark Anthony, and it just proves that we're just great because we had the Holy Roman Empire, and Alexander Great was homosexual, and Catherine the Great was, you know. But it's debauchery. The thing that one has to realize is that God knows best, you know. Mm-hmm. It is an abomination. It is a sin. Now, we've all sinned. We're all sinners. I don't believe we should be putting people on stakes for doing this. I think Jesus Christ said, the simple answer is this, which Mandela said, the simple answer is this. Just repent. Just show that you're changing your life. You know, I've sinned. Everybody's sinned. I don't believe that that targeting people, whether you target them this way or that, is necessarily the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is just my personal opinion. I am not a judge. I wish I could be a much better judge than any of the Kabbalist male judges in Virginia Beach, because they are doing this to women, mothers, who are honorable people who are telling truth. And I would like to hear Hannah Moore tell her truth. I would like to hear Grover Wright's wife, Lynn, tell her truth.
These are generals' wives.
These are wives of judges in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
I would love to have heard Ken Whitehurst's wife tell her truth. She was shot.
Mm.
Well,
no, in Virginia Beach is Pat Robertson. Would you like to see him be a judge?
No, I would not.
Okay, why is that?
I wanted to believe that Pat Robertson was honorable and good. He's a Marine. Did you know that? Did you know that he went to the psychological operations school, whatever that is, at Yale? Now, I'm not saying he's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to judge Pat Robertson. But I know that he was under the influence of a Belgian man who is very powerful in this group. I know the one thing I can judge him on is that, I will say things, and I know they're going to get me for this, because Pat is very powerful. But if you walk into Pat Robertson's Williamsburg Inn,
mm-hmm.
it's a hotel there, and you're poor, and you are a woman or a person who's poor, or an African-American who's poor, and you walk into that gift shop, you've walked into the house of the Sadducees and Pharisees. The dresses in there cost starting at $200. The belts, I mean, these are clothes, basic commodities. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's wrong to have money. And I, as I say, I'm not going to judge him. But from my perspective, the way my father was reared, there's a lot of money going on there. And Christ, I walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not really sure about all
this.
See,
everywhere you seem to look, and you find the leadership, whether it's in banking or education or religion,
mm-hmm.
there seems to be also this line of military intelligence,
yeah.
Ivy League background, that, you know, the Pat Robertson has the same kind of pedigree as these other people,
mm-hmm.
kind of filtered through.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's going to be the leader of a television big-time ministry, it would have to be someone who would be kind of a chosen one.
Yeah.
To be allowed to rise in that kind of mm-hmm. power.
And he may, I think he's basically a good guy. You know, I mean, I really like the fact that he's promoting Christ. I nearly got arrested there.
At the 700 Club?
No. I went in to use the law library because I'm fighting the Kabbalist group in Virginia Beach because I was nearly battered to death. I was nearly killed. I am a totally abused, psychologically, physically broken bones wife. Now, it says that if you are this way, you just get a warrant and you get your husband to say he's sorry or something. You know, that's all I wanted, was for my Marine Corps husband to say, I'm sorry that I did this. But if he's got men behind him telling him to do this, they're not going to let him say he's sorry, are they? Mm-hmm. No. If he's got Phil Holwager, the pastor, who's also Yale-trained intelligence chaplain with Pat Robertson, who's the pastor that I took my husband to try and get him to become a Christian, if he's meeting with Phil Holwager and Phil Holwager is telling my husband what to do, that says that Phil Holwager is a programmer for my husband. He's been trained in mind control. And Phil Holwager admitted to me, I've had psychological training, yes. And it slipped out. Oh, well, I made the mistake and told George, you know, in other words, he let me know that he has power over my husband. So then there's Ty Kroll, who's in the same church with my husband, who is a sailor, and he did some sexual things to his son, and he had his children taken away. Well, he's in the church and a good guy and everything, but he's a pedophile. Now, my husband, and I'm sort of taking up Ty Kroll's side, because we're in the same Bible study, it's kind of interesting. But Ty Kroll and my husband are meeting kind of secretly with Phil Holwager. And then there's T. Parker Host, who's running around nude at his farm, enticing my husband out, you know, and they go away for sort of boat trips for 2 hours. Now, I'm saying, as a woman and a wife, what's going on here? All of a sudden, we go up to Matthews County, where Holwager also has a house. Host has a house. But it's also where my grandfather, Miller, was born. So I feel very comfortable in Matthews County. These people were not born in Virginia. Do you know what I mean? And yet they're bringing, all of a sudden, spur of the moment, taking my husband up and then taking my husband away on a 2-hour boat ride. Or we get to Phil Holwager's son's house, and then all of a sudden my husband's riding home with Phil Holwager in the car. It's all been planned. So I'm saying, and this is just before, just after my husband got back from Norway, and I'm trying to remember whether the King and Queen of Norway had come either just before or just after this. It had something to do with the King and Queen of Norway's visit. Mm. They wanted to keep me away from the King and Queen of Norway because I believe they're Christians. I believe they're honorable people. And I was able to prevail against this group by going to the Norwegian ambassador, who's a wonderful man, and saying to him, and this is where Jesus Christ comes in and God comes in. And I know that they're with me because I'm good. And I was thinking about the good Norwegian people who wanted to see the King and Queen of Norway when he came to NATO. Mm-hmm. And all I did was what any honorable citizen would do, representing the honest little people who were Norwegians in Virginia Beach and Norfolk. I wanted them to have a chance to meet their king and queen. And the State Department didn't want me to do it. NATO didn't want me to do it. The Kabbalists didn't want me to do it. And neither did my husband. But what happened was I was with a solid, wonderful person, Ambassador Kjell Vibe. And we went to the Norwegian embassy. This was, I know I'm digressing and this is hard to follow, but Kjell Vibe and I were sitting at the table with my husband and an intelligence operative named Bill Nelson, okay, who tried to sabotage the Norwegian group that I was running in Virginia Beach. And Kjell Viva, we were planning a trip to Norway in August, which I think was just a bogus sort of thing to kind of, I don't know.
To appease you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And I knew things were going on with my husband and the weapon sales and, you know, all of this stuff. Because he was dealing with the embassy, the American embassy, and with people, and, you know, there were things going on. And I knew things were going on. I was sensing it really strongly. So we were in Washington, sitting around the big table in the Norwegian embassy with the ambassador sitting to my right, Bill and Kate Nelson to my left, my husband across the way, and Suzanne Baptist, who is the daughter of the man who started the Sister City Association. And we were supposedly planning this trip for the mayor of Virginia Beach and her husband to Norway. And he let it slip, the ambassador let it slip, that the King and Queen of Norway were coming to Norfolk in October.
Mm-hmm.
And the ironic thing is, it was the very day the Nobel Peace Prize was being awarded in Norway. I didn't know it at the time, but I thought, this is really strange later on. Here's the King and Queen of Norway are at NATO headquarters. The very day that they're giving out the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo, which is where the King and Queen of Norway are. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this to Mayor Obendorf, whose husband is involved in this weapons sale stuff, because her husband, Roger Obendorf, and my husband went to this deserted airfield. Roger Obendorf is involved with Andrew Fine, who's Army Intelligence, who tried to take over the Norwegian organization from me. When I knew that the Andrew Fine does all this group swinging sex with his wife and with NATO couples, and, you know, and I'm going, something's going on here. Roger Obendorf and my husband went to this airfield. I wasn't allowed. Mm-hmm. So I knew because my husband was meeting with other people, like, in other words, this is big.
Yeah. Now, when you mention NATO group swinging sex, are you talking about some of the most powerful people in this world, the leadership of this military?
Absolutely.
And their wives being privy. I mean.
Yes. Yes. I'm talking.
I mean, this does not give security to the people of not only this nation but the people of the world.
No.
To think that people who have the power to kill others, wage wars, send your sons and daughters
yes.
into battles, these people are complete, whacked out.
Degenerates. Absolutely. Let me give you an example. Because I was involved, I love people from other cultures. I went to an Episcopal religious girls' school,
mm-hmm.
and all of my they had girls from all over the world there. They had a Turkish. My chemistry teacher was from Turkey. Her name was Mrs. Kunt. I had a Daddy Dadian was an Armenian. Turned out he was later a spy, or they told him he was a spy, but he was from Armenia. I had a French teacher who was in the French Resistance. St. Margaret's School is a school for double agents, or at least, but it's a great school for girls because you're with all these people from other cultures. You know, we had the president of the school's father was with Aramco. I didn't know about all this stuff and how they kind of do it. Woodbury Forest is another school like that. I sent my son there. He went 4 years to Woodbury Forest, which is where President Bush's son went, Oliver North's son went. Mm-hmm. It's in Orange, Virginia. I didn't know how it all worked. And I mean, if it works for peace and Christianity and love of Muslims, love of people, give them the right to their own cultures, the way the British did, you know, because I believe basically wherever the British went, I know there's a big Hate Britain movement going on, but wherever the Brits tended to go, whether it was India or Africa, they allowed the cultures, they still wore saris, and they still were, you know, the ragheads were ragheads to protect their heads from the sun. Now they're called ragheads and they're targeted as enemies by our little boys. Our little boys are taught to hate ragheads and to kill raghead women. Well, I don't think that's very Christian. So I'm looking at the top guys, and they're not Christians. Mm-hmm. So it begs the question, well, what are they? Well, I that question was in my mind after I was married 3 years, and I started delving. My own little Miss Marple, my own little, you know. And I've arrived at the definite conclusion that they're not only not Christians, but when you have group sex and homosexual sex and orgies and things of this nature by the top people who are running my city, at least, certainly Virginia Beach, I started looking at other military towns and started asking.